Roger Plooster, and I'm an agronomist for Golden Harvest Seed Company. And I work or service the southwest Minnesota area from about as far east as approximately 169 and as far north as approximately Highway 12. Straight in the corner. So,
Roger, before we talk about what's left of the 2018 growing season, let's take a look back at some of the unique characteristics of 2018. And I know it has been a challenge for some, and others are expecting a huge crop this year. So for your area, talk about what you've seen this season.
I'll tell you what, it's been probably one of the most diverse years I've ever run into. And of course, my memory as I get older is not the best, so maybe there's been others. But there's some areas that had absolutely phenomenal planting season, one of the best they've ever had, as far as getting things in on time and perfect conditions and that type of thing. And then, as we know, there's other areas that have just, you know, really struggled with wet, not necessarily cool. Actually, the ground temperatures, soil moisture, or soil temperatures stayed fairly consistent even this spring, but some wet, tough conditions. And so the planting season really, really got spread out, no question about it. So that started everything off. Then from there, we've consistently gotten a fair amount of heat units. That part has been really good throughout most of southwest Minnesota. We actually ran almost 200 heat units ahead kind of all year long until just over the last couple, 3 weeks. It dropped off a little bit, but I think we're still, 160, 180 heat units ahead of normal, which would correlate to, week 10 days, someplace in there, depending on the time of year. Ahead of the norm as far as heat units goes. So that's a real positive. But obviously, we've had some, extreme weather situations. Not so much the wind like a year ago, but obviously some big rains, just huge rains, which even though we're tiled pretty good throughout southwest Minnesota, when the ditches are full and that type of thing, it just can't get away. And obviously a terrible, terrible lot of flooding in a lot of areas. So that's going to, again, make for a lot of variability as far as yields go and harvest and those types of things. So kind of in general, that's kind of what's happened throughout the year.
And I've heard reports of groundouts and potholes in fields because of all that moisture. And I know another problem this season, because of all the rain, it really delayed spraying. And for farmers that wanted to get out and get the herbicide on, in especially in that June time frame, they were limited. And so as we're now moving into September in the middle of the month here, weeds that farmers had hoped to have more control of that maybe got away from them, are you seeing much of that?
Yeah, no question. That's a really good point. I sometimes kind of forget about it. But, there were several cornfields that luckily had pre's on, and the pre's worked well for the most part this year. But several guys that just weren't able to get back in at all with a second application of herbicide, which they had intended to do. And obviously, there's some consequences. Some cases, things stayed pretty clean, but in a lot of cases, we're seeing water hemp and giant ragweed poke through the top of the corn. And some guys have reacted and sprayed, obviously, some 2,4-D over the top to knock those back and try and keep things from going to seed. But a lot of guys just haven't had that opportunity to even do that. So yeah, in soybeans the same way. Again, the pre's worked pretty well, and it was tough, though, getting on the second application. Of course, on the extend beans, the date, deadline for spraying came and went, and a lot of acres weren't sprayed, so they had to go back to some of the old reliable herbicides and that type of thing, and even those got a little bit late. So we're seeing some dirty soybean fields. For the most part, though, those seem to be hanging in there pretty good. Volunteer corn probably was one of the bigger issues this year that we've seen. And some got away, but for the most part, most of the guys were able to control that relatively well anyway. So we'll see. I'm hoping that that weed control issue isn't a major yield limiting factor, but I'm sure in some cases it will be. And then in the same breath, the nitrogen application, I'm sure you'll probably get to that. We got the same thing going on there. The growers did a great job, of trying to manage their nitrogen. Several of the guys are starting to try and put more on in season and spoon feed this crop, which from an environmental standpoint and from an economic standpoint is a really, really good choice. Unfortunately, this year it was tough, just really tough to get things on. And even the guys that did get nitrogen on, up front, still have issues between the leaching and denitrification of the end. We're seeing a lot of nitrogen deficiency show up in the corn, and that's going to affect us here a little later on, which we'll talk about here a little bit later. So yeah, a lot of things going on there.
Yeah, as we transition to the upcoming harvest, everything that you've outlined so far really kind of sets the table for that extreme variability kind of expectation that farmers are going to have this year because of the challenges that they faced. And I guess as we kind of start beginning our talk on harvest, I talked to a farmer in West Central Minnesota last week who's kind of circled September 20th on his calendar. He thinks he might be able to start corn harvest then and suggested that he'll probably be well into corn before he turns over to soybeans this year. And it might take until the 1st of October or later before the soybeans are ready because they're still pretty green. So with that as kind of a lead-in, Roger, what are your harvest expectations beginning with the time frame?
Yeah, I think he hit the nail on the head. I would have said 2 weeks ago that he was definitely correct. I would have said that we're going to have a fair amount of corn harvested for the guys that really want to get out, get after it anyway, which they should, and we'll talk about that in a minute. Before we start on the soybeans, but not in all areas. Obviously, as just like everywhere, there's several bean fields now that are really starting to turn, and so I think soybean harvest is going to come pretty quickly too. So soybean harvest, it's hard to say timeline wise because again, it's going to be so variable. But I got to believe, just like you say, that 20th of September time frame, last week of September, we're going to start to see a lot of soybeans come off. And I think we're going to see a fair amount of corn come off. A couple of reasons. Number one, head-on heat units. And if we continue to pick up some heat units now in September, this crop should black layer fairly quickly and then start to dry down fairly quickly. And number two, because of the conditions, we're seeing a lot of these corn plants die off a little bit prematurely. And thus, we're going to see some fast, let's just call it die and dry, on this corn crop in several areas too. So that's going to promote, an early corn harvest there too. So,
and that speaks to the importance of getting out and maybe prioritizing your fields, which fields you want to get to first, and just kind of having your game plan ready because, as you can attest, Roger, once harvest begins, things get very chaotic.
Yeah. I'm really glad that you guys are bringing that up on the media side, because we've been talking to everybody that'll listen. I think it's going to be a high stock rot, and we shouldn't really just call it stock rot, but it's going to be a year. We're setting ourselves up similar to last year, to be really honest with you, and we had a fair amount in general of stock rot issues, standability issues in the corn last year. If you think about it, we've been wet throughout most of southwest Minnesota since day one, which inhibited root growth and really, added to the severity of the crown rots and that type of thing that are really showing up now. We had some pretty severe nitrogen deficiencies, or at least some nitrogen deficiencies in just about every field. Again, not the grower's fault by any means. The guys did a great job of getting in and out, did a great job of trying to react when they saw that they had lost some nitrogen. But it's just the way it is, just the way the weather worked and the moisture that we had. And then guess what? A year ago, I remember in Waseca, the extension said that they had 21 days of cloudy weather in August during grain fill time. And that definitely affected photosynthesis and thus sugar production of the plant. And during ear fill time, that's a major concern. Well, what happened to us this year? We had those fires, we had hazy weather, we had some cloudy weather, not that severe, don't get me wrong, but we had a fair amount of hazy weather through August during grain fill time. And all of those things really contribute to stock quality issues next year, or this fall. And we're already finding when we split the plants, we're finding a fair amount of crown rot, and that's what you're seeing when you're seeing these corn plants die in these fields. It's a combination of things, but we're seeing a fair amount of crown rot, and the plant then cannibalizes itself trying to fill that ear, takes everything out of the bottom of the stock first, and then it, you know, just keeps right on going up the plant. We're seeing some anthracnose in several places, a little bit of Gossa swelled here and there, some physoderma here and there, but for the most part, I would expect some pretty severe stock quality issues this fall, and the guys are going to have to be on top of it and paying attention to, just like you said, to which fields prioritize, pay attention to which fields need to be harvested early, and hopefully the weather cooperates. You know, let's face it, when it comes to dried corn, if we can dry corn in 70-degree temperatures, you know, it's at least quite a bit less expensive. I'm not saying it's not expensive, but quite a bit less expensive than if we're drying corn in 30-degree temperatures, you know. So hopefully we can get out there early and get this stuff off and dry it and keep rolling.
And Roger, the last thing I have for you kind of goes along with what you just said, and it's not so much about the agronomics as it is the economics, but farmers are dealing with very tight margins right now. So what are some considerations? Where are there areas of the farm operation where when you're working through harvest, you can become more efficient, you can try to cut down on expense, and like you said, drying costs is a big one. But are there some other considerations, too, that you want farmers to be thinking about?
Well, it's tough to know, but yes, I think a couple things. Number one, during harvest time is when we really do need to make some notes as we're going through these fields, that type of thing. On let's talk about soybeans first. On you know, any white mold issues, those types of things that may have showed up. And next year, just to throw a pitch in for watching out for white mold in soybeans. Next year is when most of the guys will be rotating back to the fields that have given us white mold issues for the past 3 years, 15, 17, and now 19. So I think we can expect, if the weather dictates, we can expect some white mold issues coming up there in 2019. So yeah, definitely recommend doing those types of things. But just what you said, I think go in early, try and prioritize harvest a little bit. Talk to your seed dealers, whether it's Golden Harvest or whatever company, and visit with those guys and ask for an honest answer on, hey, which hybrids should I be watching out for? You know, these are the conditions we had. Which hybrids would you expect that might give me some issues so that, you know, you can go out and, you know, again, do an honest evaluation and try and get those hybrids off early. And yeah, I guess I haven't done the research, but I'm sure there's a fair amount of data out there showing that if we can dry corn here in September, October, during some really nice days and air temperature compared to November when it's really cooled off, economically, that's probably a better situation that I'm very confident is, even on a normal year with normal field loss, I think it's economical, and in a year like this where we expect a lot of stock quality issues, I got to believe economically the guys are going to be way, way better off getting it out early. And let's face it, you know, some things we don't think about so much is some of the lingering effects. As an example, just what we saw this year where we had some stock quality issues last fall, we saw a ton of volunteer corn in these fields, and normally volunteer corn isn't such an economic factor. I mean, it is to a certain extent, but boy, this year it was. I mean, there's just no question about it. It was a major weed in these soybean fields this past year. So there's another thing to look at is some of the lingering effects of not getting this crop out early and end up having you know, stock quality issues and ear loss and that type of thing. So,
Roger, anything else you want to make sure we talk about today?
You know, I think that's the major thing definitely on my mind is trying to spread the word that we need to be on top of this harvest. And again, just you hit the nail on the head with the economics the way they are. I think many, many growers were hoping they could let that corn stand out in the field and not have to spend money on drying. But I think that would be a real mistake. In a lot of issues. Now, the other thing I might mention, I'll put a plug in for fungicide over the top of corn. and I am a believer. I think we've got enough data now throughout that a good fungicide at full rates will give you a good return on investment from a yield standpoint. But the other factor is it definitely improves harvest stability and stock quality in the fall. And for those guys that use the fungicide and use the quality fungicide at full rates, you know, I suspect or expect that at least on those fields, they're going to have much less issue and much more time to get that crop off, you know, in a good manner. So.